This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer. I'm speaking with Mr. Jack Hollingsworth. He's a photographer that I know, and you may know him as well. He's very prolific on the internet. He shoots a lot, and he shoots a lot more than I do. Jack is a world photographer or a travel photographer. He's a portrait photographer, lifestyle. He's all over the place. He's been shooting for over 30 years, and he's also working with Trey Radcliffe on a couple of super secret projects that we're not allowed to talk about yet, but hopefully we'll get him on the show later after this stuff comes out and pick his brain about him. So, Jack, welcome to This Week in Photo.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be here. Pleasure.
It's good to have you on the show. So let's, you know, whenever I have a new guest on the show, I like to chat with them a little bit about how they got into photography. And I like to use the analogy, you know, how did the spider, you know, the radioactive photography spider bite you? You know, what? How did it all start for Jack?
Let me give you the short story, and I do mean short. I have told this many times, and it never seems to get old. I am I'm 57 this year, and again, as you said to your guest earlier, I've been shooting for 30 years.
Yep.
And I honestly, I sit back as I listen to myself, you know, spew these words out of my mouth, but I am just as passionate today as I was 30 years ago when I started. And I was wide-eyed when I started, and right now I'm even wider-eyed. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't always been like that. You know, a few points along the way, I probably burnt out because it just shot so darn much. But yeah, I'm an enthusiastic, ardent, passionate shooter at heart, and a shooter is exactly what I am. I think my first job, Frederick, my uncle was Lee Harrington, was the president of the Massachusetts Maritime Academy on Cape Cod. And he trained, the purpose of the school was to train merchant marines. So every summer he would extend offers to his nephews to go on a merchant marine ship. And we'd basically just head out to sea. And I remember, I think it was in the summer of 1973, a year after college, it was my turn. You know, I was the nephew and it was my turn. And we went to Ireland, England, Norway, Scandinavia, all over, Sweden. Was on the water for 2 months. It was my first experience overseas. And before I left, my dad said, you know, hey, Jack, why don't you take a camera with you? Didn't know anything about a camera. Gave me a Minolta 101. I think he bought it used at a secondhand shop. 2 months later, I came back. There was two births in my life, and it was just so clear. They were both aha moments. One was a love of travel, and one was an obvious love of photography. And those two births, of course, I had to groom them and raise them, you know, over the years to get to where I'm at now. But that's kind of where it started. And right off the bat, I just seemed to. I don't know. I did all kinds of traveling, literally within years of kind of calling myself a travel photographer. And I just had some cherry jobs. I did some airline work, had some, you know, resorts that I shot for, had a couple really nice tourism campaigns. I mean, the list goes on and on. So that kind of put me in a world context, and I don't think I ever looked back. Now, where I made money, and most of my money in photography, was through commercial stock. And I think that that's probably a different story in and of itself. But that understanding, that appreciation, that knowledge of shooting commercial work was all born overseas in the foreign capitals of this world. And to this day, I'm still traveling and shooting. I'm not doing as much as I used to. But now I find myself wanting to repeat some of those same experiences now within a mobile context, which I'm even more enthusiastic about.
And that's what I want to definitely dive into. Now, I'm going to pause it right here for a second. So, Jack, I need you to move. Are you drifting away from the microphone?
I could have. Yeah, I'm having a problem with. Let me take this up here. Hold on.
And I'll edit this little clip out. I'm still recording, but I'll cut this piece out.
Yeah, my microphone arm is loose. Let me get this up.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I just switched ears. Okay. Was that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, got it.
Perfect. Yeah, because you were like drifting out into the ocean there. For a second. I was like, Jack, come back. Like Jack on Titanic.
There you go.
Come back.
Okay, I'm back on land now.
All right, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
Okay. So we're going to continue the interview here. Okay, so that's the piece that I really want to talk about, Jack, the iPhone piece of this. So I know you increasingly, we had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about this interview and kind of the things that we wanted to touch on for the This Week in Photo listeners. And you, without hesitation, said iPhone photography or mobile photography is kind of the image capturing genre that you want to hang your hat on right now. So why? Why iPhone photography? It's a crappy little camera on a crappy little device that, you know, can't take images 1/8 as good as your DSLR. Why mm-hmm. are you looking at it as the future?
Yeah, well, those are maybe some of the exact words that I used, you know, 6, 7, 8 months ago. And of course, that tune has changed fairly significantly. Let me tell you the story, because I think the story is pretty cool. Again, I was shooting overseas. I had two jobs, one for a well-known cruise line. So I was going to document, I was actually shooting for doing some aerial work for a cruise line in the Caribbean. And I had a tagged on resort assignment that started before the cruise. So I went down to the Caribbean with a couple guys, a video guy and my assistant. And we did some resort work about 2 or 3 days before the 2-week cruise job started. Mm-hmm. So there I was, packed up with all my Canon gear and bag upon bag and cord upon cord and battery upon battery and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And lo and behold, when I got to a room that night, which was late, we had a late flight in, went to plug in my batteries, and lo and behold, the missing piece was my camera gear. So we had like 13 bags, and 12 of them showed up, and all of them showed up except my camera.
Yep.
So there it was, ready to shoot about 5 hours later, my first scene with no camera. Yeah. Actually, no, that's actually not the case. What I had was a carry-on 5D. Now, mind you, this may kind of sound crazy, but I owned a 5D, and it was the camera that my assistants used to kind of shoot behind-the-scenes stuff on video and stills when I was doing commercial work, mm-hmm. because I used the Canon 1DS. So I had never even used the 5D, even though I'd owned it for 2 years. So there I was, on a commercial shoot with no camera and a 5D that I'd never used in an iPhone. So I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, do I whine? Do I come clean with a customer? Do I come clean with a client? Just tell them, hey, here we go. No. So I decided to, you know, just kind of work my way through it. I thought, hey, I'm pretty smart. I can kind of figure the 5D out. I started shooting it. You know, it took me probably about an hour in the morning to kind of get on the rhythm of the controls and kind of figure out, okay, this is kind of cool. Wasn't that comfortable, because I'm really not a technical photographer. I'd say I'm more of an intuitive, artistic kind of photographer. I'm more of a feeling, emotive type of guy. I've always flown like that. That's kind of my MO. That's who I am. So, you know, just picking up a camera and trying to figure out all the dials and the knobs, a big, big step for me, particularly trying to do it in front of a customer within an hour.
Yeah.
So I managed to get through it, kind of stumble through some stuff, and then almost kind of out of frustration, I said, "Oh, you know something? I'm just gonna relax. My camera's gonna be here this afternoon. It's coming in on such and such flight. I'm just gonna go enjoy the sunrise." So when my two guys were kind of getting all the equipment ready, and I was maybe 100, 200 yards ahead of them, I walked up this. We were literally right on the ocean, this kind of rock formation, came around, and there's this like gorgeous sunrise, you know, just beautiful waves crashing against the rocks. I mean, just idyllic in every sense. And by then I was relaxed. I was like, oh, you know, thank you, God. This is okay. I'm fine now. This is like beautiful. Well, out comes my iPhone, which, by the way, I had not really shot until that point. I mean, I had seen assistants shoot, and of course I shot it. Yes, of course I shot it. I shot it for a couple of years since I had it, but it was really never really thought much about it. Lo and behold, got my iPhone camera out at sunrise. Boom. It was that moment I went, oh my God, this is incredible. I'm looking, and then of course I grab my 5D, I shoot the same thing, and I'm looking at the screen of the 5D, and I'm looking at the retina screen of my iPhone, and my iPhone shot smokes my 5D shot, at least to my eyes anyway.
Now, why was that? Was it because the exposure that the iPhone picked was better than what you got out of the 5D? Because you had more, you know, millions of more pixels on the 5D than you had on the iPhone. Why was iPhone better?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've thought about that. One is the iPhone has a Retina display, so you know by default it's going to show a better, brighter image than my LCD screen of my 5D. Yeah. Not number one, and number two, it's bigger. You know, the screen size is bigger. So I don't know, maybe it was the angle of view. I'm not saying that my iPhone picture was better. I'm talking about the emotional response, the aha moment that I went, this isn't a toy camera. This is like powerful. This was like an exposure. And again, I think with my 5D, I was using my Siconic 501, my spot meter. And so I'm a light guy. I'm a metering guy. I'm like nailing my exposure with my 5D, going, that's beautiful. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And then I'm on auto of my iPhone, and the shot just looks better. That started a 2-week exploration for me. It's no joke. It became not just another aha moment. It became a total all out, almost an uncontrollable obsession with me for the next 2 weeks. So I shot not only with my 5D and, of course, my Canon 1DSs, which, you know, came on the afternoon flight, but I shot backup of everything, whether I was on sticks, indoors, on the water, in a helicopter, climbing a mast of the ship. I backed up everything with my iPhone, and I got to show you the pictures. They're pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I came back that I went, and again, I changed my tune. It was like, this is not a toy phone. This is not a toy camera. This is a serious tool to reckon with that I have to get to know and appreciate. And of course, I've spent the last 6 months almost shooting with it nonstop, trying to understand it, appreciate it, understand its limitations, and then exploit the capabilities, if you would. And I'm having a heck of a time doing it.
And that's what I want to get into. You know, millions and millions and millions of people have these cameras with them in their iPhones, right? So they can, theoretically, anybody with an iPhone could take really cool pictures. Anybody with an iPhone could have been on that summit with you, taking that picture of the sunset and getting excellent, oh my God, results. Right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the question is, why? I mean, aside from what we talked about before, and we'll get into this, you know, you can shoot, edit, and share right from the palm of your hand, right? So that's cool. And that, you know, from a photographer's standpoint, that's like, wow, this is awesome. But, you know, what I'm trying to reconcile is just the overall quality and the lack of pixels, right? So I love iPhone photography as well. You know, anybody who follows me knows that I'm shooting stuff to Instagram all the time. Mm-hmm. But But what's in my head, and I think it was a lot of people that are like me, what's in their heads are that the photos that come out of my iPhone are fun. You know, they're like, okay, I'm going to put them on Facebook. I may put them on Flickr. I may put them on Instagram. But this is not serious photography. But what I'm hearing from you is that this is serious photography.
It's
from an iPhone. So explain that. And how do we go from the iPhone or mobile photography being just, okay, this is me acting stupid at a party drinking, to this is me taking some substantive work that I can call art?
Yeah, well, let me go on the record, Frederick, in saying, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand, I am not anti-DSLR. As a matter of fact, I still make a living at it.
Yeah.
I'm a Canon freak of nature, always have been. I use it in my own commercial work, so I don't think...
That's another argument. I'm kidding.
Yeah, this is not an either-or proposition.
Yep.
You know, this is a both. So, yeah, am I suggesting to our listeners here that, you know, they put their DSLR aside and basically just embrace the iPhone as a commercial? No, I would say not. But I'm going to tell you some things, maybe not now, but in subsequent conversations, where I am starting to explore the commercial side of iPhone work. And it's pretty amazing. So let's get back to the technical part. It's a five megapixel camera, so it renders about a 2 megabyte file, which for the most part, if you think about it, I mean, think about your own work. I mean, 90% of the work that you do, I don't know about your work, Frederick, but my work, I see it's online, whether it's a commercial shot or it's a bona fide assignment or a commission for a hotel. I'm normally, for the most part, seeing what I am doing online. If I'm shooting for my family, I'm seeing it online. If I'm shooting for my friends, I'm seeing it online. I'm seeing it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc., Flickr. So 90% of how our pictures, even commercially, are used is an online context or an online application. That to me is just makes a strong case for a 5 megapixel iPhone 4 camera that renders a 2 megabyte file, because quite frankly, I can print easily, you know, 240 DPI up to 6.9, 8.10, and maybe with a little help, I could print, and I could prove to you that I could create stunning 16 by 20s that you would have no idea that I created from my iPhone.
Wow.
So
how is that? Are you using some sort of fractal image enlargement program, or are you just like tweaking it in Photoshop?
Just tweaking it. I mean, most of my tweaking actually is done on the iPhone, but yeah, tweaking it in Photoshop, tweaking it in fractal. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not making too many 16 by 20s.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question.
Yeah,
when was the last time you printed?
Yeah, right. I'm looking at 16 or I'm looking at 30 by 40s on my wall. But I have friends that there's almost a subculture among iPhone photographers or iPhoneographers, I think is it more technically called.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
There's a subculture of photographers that are exhibiting their work internationally, and these are diehard, iPhone fanatics who shoot, author, and process all their stuff on the iPhone, and these guys are making 16, 20 plus prints for exhibition. I've seen it.
Wow.
So, but again, I don't think, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know, everybody's going to run out and make big prints. It's that three legs of the tripod that I think provides the magic moment for me. That it's not the shooting part, because we all do that, but it's the apping part, the filtering part, the embellishing part, the beautifying part that I can do on my phone, tied with the third leg of the tripod, which is sharing. So shoot, embellish, share. Or capture, beautify, share. Those combinations, oh my God, that's what makes the iPhone special. And to a pro photographer, like a lot of your audience, you are so far ahead of the game because of what you already bring to the party. I mean, just go to Instagram. I mean, a lot of the, and I love Instagram, so don't get me wrong, but a lot of the stuff is substandard stuff. So bring your skills as a photographer, your sensibilities of producing, directing, lighting, coaching, composing, you know, yada, yada, yada. Bring that discipline, that sensibility, that sensitivity to the iPhone, and I guarantee you, you're going to not only get some attention, you're going to make some waves and possibly even make some money with it.
Okay, so to the photographer that has an iPhone sitting in his pocket or on their desk or wherever right now, and they're getting pumped by this interview, and they're like, you know what? Okay, I'm going to look at my iPhone with different eyes. What are some technique tips? Not software, not sharing, but on the shoot side, tips that you can give folks to get to improve their iPhoneography.
Well, yeah, I would say the first thing, which would come as an absolute no surprise. And again, I think this is when I think of, you know, and I'm really a newbie. There's a lot of great iPhoneographers or iPhone photographers that are so much more advanced than I am. You know, they may not have the 30 years of experience that I have in commercial work, but they have years of experience in iPhone work. And you can see a lot of their work on a site called iPhone Art. What is it? iPhone... Yeah, let me come back to that. It's either iPhone-art.com or iPhone-art.net or iPhoneart.com, but it's a gallery of amazing iPhone artists. So tip number one would be expose for the highlight. So
how do they do that with an iPhone?
How do you control
the highlights?
How do you control the highlight when your tap focus, I mean, your tap focus serves a multi-functional aspect. It's focus, exposure, and white balance. Now, that's all changing, of course, on the next generation iPhone, which we just heard from in Steve Jobs' keynote at the Apple Development Conference. And I think it was in your neck of the woods, wasn't it?
San Francisco.
Yeah. So they're going to add some new features, but you're primarily with your iPhone, you're going to tap focus on pretty much the brightest part of the image to make sure that you maintain detail in that highlight. And then through a series of, you know, filters and processing or apping or apps, you're going to basically bring up the detail in the shadows. And you could use, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, filter sets. Filter Storm is a popular one. Iris Photo Suite is another popular one.
So let's talk about that. So that, okay. That like me, I have a couple of apps on my iPhone that are my go-to apps that I use for a lot. I have Photogene on there.
Mm-hmm. Photogene.
I've got, of course, Instagram on there. I've got this one that I love called Tilt Shift Gen.
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, for blurring selective parts of the image, that kind of thing. And, you know, I have a bunch of other ones on there, which, you know, we can, you know, maybe we'll put them in the blog post notes. But, you know, that those are my go-to apps. You know, mm-hmm. If I need to crop something, I'm going into Photogene. I'll crop it down. If I want to blur a background, it's going into Tilt Shift Gen. And if I'm going to share it, I may do all that stuff before I share it and throw it into Instagram, make a couple more tweaks and share it out to the world, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's on Jack's list of, you know, you're on a desert island, you can only pick two or three apps?
Well, it's interesting because I just did a let's go to the poll right now. I just did a poll today on Twitter, actually yesterday, and I asked people how many apps do they typically have in their iPhone toolkit, not how many they own, but how many do they regularly use. And I would say almost 90% of yesterday's pollers said that they have less than 10 apps in their toolkit that are their go-to apps for iPhone processing. And that's kind of true with me. I think I own like about 150 plus apps. But probably
150 photography apps, or apps
yes,
in general?
No, 150 photography apps.
So basically, yeah, you have all of them.
I pretty much have all of them. Yes.
What's your favorite? So give me your top one, if you can only pick one.
Well, put them into categories, and there are and these are my categories. But my favorite camera replacement app, in other words, an app that replaces sort of the native iPhone app that comes bundled with the iPhone, which is good, but it can be improved. Then my number one favorite is an app called Camera Plus. It's camera with a plus sign.
Yeah, that's Lisa Betney is helping promote that app.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. By far my favorite app. My poll today on Twitter, which of these camera replacement apps do you use the most? And I had Camera Plus Pro, Camera Plus, Camera Genius, Pro Camera, Snapshot, Gorilla Cam. Of all those that were listed, 43% use Camera Plus Sign. So and that's Lisa's app. So yeah, that's my go-to camera replacement app. It's also one of my go-to apps for filtering and processing too. It's just it feels professional. It doesn't have a lot of cheese and bling to it, which, you know, a lot of the apps out there just, you know, they're nauseating.
Yeah.
And they're foolish, and most pros, you look at them with great disdain. This is a sophisticated, refined app that has camera replacement features and processing and filtering features. So camera replacement app, Camera Plus. Probably... Go ahead.
No, so I was going to say, so we talked about shooting, and then we talked about editing and manipulation of the image. What about sharing? What's your go-to service for sharing, or do you just, you know, kind of upload them and put them on your own website?
By far, Instagram. Yeah, I'm also this love of mobile. At the same time, I was introduced to Instagram, so I'm pretty gung-ho about Instagram. And I shoot and share weekly on Instagram. And for your listeners that don't know Instagram, it's basically like, you know, a Twitter for photographers. And so instead of posting 140 character messages, you're posting photographs that you can caption, and you have an unlimited amount of space to caption them and tag them. So, I'm pretty enthusiastic about that community. There's not a ton of pros on Instagram, but it's growing and increasingly in popularity. I think the last count, there were, you know, 3 million plus, 3 to 5 million plus registered users. So that's good. It's coming on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to agree. What's your name on Instagram?
Jack Hollingsworth.
Okay, got it. That's it. No space, no underscore.
That's it, man. It would be the at sign Jack Hollingsworth. So.
So Jack, what's the future of this stuff? So, you know, so I'm looking, of course, the iPhone, if Apple stays around, which chances are they will.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the chances are pretty good that they'll be around next year. And chances are also pretty good that there'll be an iPhone 5 and a 6 and a 7 and an 8, which means the camera will likely improve as well, right? So What does that mean for these apps and for the future of mobile photography, and in particular, sharing? You know, for example, are we going to see a day in the future where a wedding gets shot entirely with iPhones, that kind of thing?
I think we're already there, Frederick, and I think there's probably people right now shooting commercial weddings with their iPhone. I've just finished a blog series, a 9-part blog series, which I can kind of, you know, share tidbits or excerpts from, you know, with your readers over time. But in that 9-part blog series, I kind of have explored how to shoot lifestyle, you know, photography with your iPhone, how to shoot portrait photography, how to shoot architecture photography with your, how to shoot food photography with your iPhone, how to shoot travel photography with your iPhone. And through that experience alone, it is confirmed to me that there's not just, it's not an evolution of sort, it's a revolution of magnanimous proportions. It's huge. And I've got to believe, at least with the improvements of the new iPhone that we're going to see this fall, you know, the sky is pretty blue, and that we're going to start seeing more and more and more commercial usages of iPhone. Now, I speak iPhone because that's all I know, but you could just substitute the word mobile, you know, if you're on an Android platform or if you don't have an iPhone. But mobile is blowing up, and it's blowing up in an exciting way. And it's something photographers really should embrace and get excited about.
Yeah. And I guess the last question I'd ask is, you know, clearly technology is advancing and getting better and better, and these cameras and optics are getting better and better, and we'll be at a point, I think we're at the point now, like you were saying, that the iPhone camera in many ways can replace high-end point-and-shoots, and we can do some pretty pro-level stuff with these things. But the one thing that I would want to reconcile with thinking about the iPhone as a pro camera replacement is just the size perception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about it, you're like, people, wherever you go, if they're not a photographer and they look at you, and you, like for me, if I go out with my Nikon D3, you know, with my camera bag and I got my strobe on there, you know, people are like, oh, you're a pro photographer, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But if I go out just with my Nikon D700, which doesn't have the extension at the bottom,
yeah,
you know, and I put a 50mm lens on it, and I'm walking around taking the same megapixel images, you know, with the same sensor, people are, you know, I'm just a guy with a camera, you know, at that point. So if you abstract that down to the iPhone, and you're out there, hey, I'm a pro photographer, and you whip out your iPhone at a wedding, you know, are people going to take you seriously?
I had the exact same experience, Frederick, in the Caribbean during this obsession period where I was shooting a sporting event, and I was knocking around shooting portraits and detail and graphics and yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, my shtick didn't work because it felt phony and awkward. People are asking me, well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm a pro photographer. And I could see the look on their face like,
yeah,
oh,
like, what are you, poor?
Oh, come on, dude, you're a pro photographer. And then, and of course, I would shoot, process, and share the shot on the spot. That ended the discussion. You're like, oh, my God. I mean, I remember this young black kid, you know, me, 10 years old, and a stunning shot. It'd be a beautiful shot, beautiful light. Shot it, turned it into black and white. I think through, I was using Hipstamatic app at the time. Found his father, who was, you know, seated, you know, about 10 feet away, rocked over his dad, and his dad was just like, he couldn't say anything. He was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And the cool thing is you could make that shot and then say, hey, by the way, when you get back to your computer at home, it'll be waiting for you. I'm going to send it to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And think about it again. I mean, think about the technical aspects of the iPhone. I mean, put this in perspective as a photographer. So it's a, you're talking about a 5-megapixel camera. That's good. You're talking about a 3.85-millimeter lens. That's what it is, 3.85-millimeter lens. It has a sensor size that's 1/7 or even 1/8 the size of your, you know, big cameras, your Nikon cameras or your Canon cameras. It has a fixed aperture at around 2.8. The perspective of the lens is about a 28-millimeter. And furthermore, because of the small size of the sensor itself, shooting f/2.8 on an iPhone 4 is like shooting lockdown f/22. So everything you shoot is completely focused.
Yeah.
You know, there's no bokeh, there's no getting up close, and there's no, you know, falling off. You don't have the control. So again, work within the limitations and use the limitations and the liabilities for, you know, opportunity and success. It's fun. It's really fun.
So we'll definitely have to continue this in some subsequent discussions on this stuff, because there's so much that we haven't touched on. For example, we haven't touched on flash, you know, because the new iPhone 4 has flash on there. And we haven't even broached the topic of multimedia, because mm-hmm. you can shoot video and capture audio and edit and do all this crazy stuff that you can do with this little device that slips into your back pocket, right? So definitely want to continue the series and sort of talk about the different things that you can do with iPhone, and maybe we'll dive into the different services and all that stuff. So would you be willing to come on again and chat?
I would be all over it, and I would be honored to participate. It doesn't take much to get me talking about, you know, my favorite subject. So yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, you're in. So before I let you go, where can folks go to find out more about you and see some of the work that you're doing with the iPhone and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I would say, since we've been talking about mobile, follow me, of course, on Instagram. That would be @@JackHollingsworth. And then if you're not into Instagram, but you want to actually look at my mobile feed, you could go to, I think it's Graham Feed, Graham Feed, FEED.com, and then /, I think, my name, Jack Hollingsworth, and or search it under, Graham Feed, and you'll be able to actually see probably several thousand mobile shots that I've taken, in the past couple months, and get a sense of what I'm doing. Of course, that's not everything that I'm shooting. Sure. And then I've got a brand new Tumblr blog that's probably going to be released in the next 60 days. And that Tumblr blog will be exclusively devoted to iPhone content, stories, videos, interviews with other iPhoneographers, et cetera, et cetera. So, if I do some more speaking with you and Yak in here, then we'll be able to, bring that into the forefront.
Yeah, I have a feeling we have lots more yakking to do.
We got lots of yakking to do, brother. Lots of yakking.
Very cool. Jack, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me and the This Week in Photo listeners tonight. This has been educational. I feel like I want to go out and take some pictures with my iPhone now.
Let's go, brother. Let's go. Strap it on. Let's go.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Okay, buddy.